This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki. And good morning to you and welcome along to Wahine Atua for this week. With me in the studio I have the lovely lady Marcia Millard. Marcia, welcome along to Wahine Atua today. Lovely to have you.
Thank you for inviting me, and third time lucky. I've cancelled on you 2 weeks on the trot. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, look, you've been sick. Who hasn't been at the moment, right?
The winter chills. So apologies before we start if I do the odd cough. I've still got a little I'm not trying to interrupt you.
Not at all. You and I crossed paths several years ago. I think I was at NZME.
Yes.
Yeah, when I first ever met you. And then, of course, we'd ended up being sort of associated by my daughter's partner working with your husband.
That's right.
And then sort of like, and then Matt came and did some electrical work for me and at the house. And then, obviously, through your previous role at the Wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I mean, gosh, what a huge, I guess you could say, like, you just brought so much knowledge to the people of Taranaki, Marcia, with that. That was just huge.
And it was a great experience, and I'm still, I'm pleased to say, still involved with the Wheelhouse. So I met Joe yesterday.
Yes.
And it's great to see that it's evolving as it should.
Yeah.
So, and I still deliver the odd workshop, which is great because, you know me, I like to get out. I love the sound of my own voice, Tracy, so I like to get out there.
I think the other thing is too, now, of course, you're with age concern, and that's a lovely fit for you, if I may say so.
But because I'm old?
No. No, but you've just got, it's that personality in dealing with people, and you get on with everybody. You do. You've just got that personality.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's just one part of my week. The rest of the week I work with the Taranaki catchment communities.
Let's talk about that. So tell me, what does that role encompass?
Well, I'm fortunate that I work in my own community, so in Te Rata. As you know, I love it out there. So it's a farmer-led project. So at the moment, it's focusing very much on improving farmers' confidence in compliance with all the various regulations that are coming in. But I also, like yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before? Monday, with the glorious weather, I was out collecting water samples from our area to send off to the labs to be tested. So what a beautiful way to spend a day.
How long have you been out at Tarata now?
4 years.
Gosh, is it that long?
Yeah, it's really flown.
Gosh, I can't believe that. The other thing I want to talk about, which is going to lead us on to our topic today, is that I had the pleasure of coming out last year for my birthday. What a way for my birthday to come to the Mad Hatter's Tea Party that you had out at the Tarata Hall. How many women attended that day in the end?
We had 130 perimenopausal or menopausal women in their own, I think all the men from Te Rata left that day.
I think the thing which got me about it, and it was quite interesting, like I was saying to you off air beforehand, like talking to Petra, who's bringing that show Hot Mess here, is that, you know, like, even 20 years ago, there was that real stigma about women who were menopausal that we were all about. You know, and I loved the fact that you called it the Mad Hatters, because let's face it, we do go through that moment of madness, don't we? You know.
Well, there was a reason to that. And the way the session came about is Shelley, who's a pocket rocket in our community, does heaps of things. The bringing people together to talk about menopause was her baby.
Right.
She'd spent a couple of years ruminating over it and wanting to get it going. And then we had the amazing person at Rural Support, who was also called Marcia. So, you know, she's a good person with a name like that.
Absolutely.
they approached us in the community to see if we wanted to do a Mad Hatter's Tea Party, which is about bringing rural women together to get them out of the house, off the farm, and to combat any sort of like rural isolation.
Right.
So the two came together and formed the Mad Hatter's Menopause Tea Party.
Mm.
So we had the support of Rural Support and their volunteers to actually put on that amazing food.
I know, it was beautiful.
then Shelley had been listening to a podcast with Nicola and Megan, Nicola Duggan and Megan Kerr, and so she approached them to come and do a talk, and they were more than happy to venture over the saddle into Tararta.
Do you know the thing which got me that day was one of the other biggest things was hearing about those, all that, I'm going to say, crap that we've all heard about. Like, I had heard so much crap about what I was going to expect, you know, and I just started perimenopause then, and like what I was going to expect. And as I've said beforehand, like my mum had said to me, oh, you know, anybody who's menopausal, you go a bit insane. And that's what I'd been told, and that's what I had expected. Or when my older sisters had flipped their lids for a moment, it was, oh, because, you know, menopausal, that's what it is. You go a bit insane and you get quite nasty and you put on weight and then you get shitty with everybody and all of those things happen. But no one had actually said, hang on a minute here, you've got, the chances are that you're going to have problems with sleep. It's not just about hot flashes and flying off the handle. That, I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, is about the aches and the body aches and all of that can happen. And there was all of that knowledge that was shared that day out at the Tararta Hall, which really opened my eyes up to go, hold on a minute here, I'm not going insane. Yeah. I'm actually, these things that are starting to happen. Or the other thing which, you know, like I had a friend who was there that day who had gone through forced menopause with having hysterectomy, you know, and for her to sit down and listen to it and go, hang on a minute here, I'm only in my late 40s, I've just had a hysterectomy and now all of these things are happening, couldn't go on HRT to have that support. So what does that mean for her and all those things to understand? And it was a real, I likened it the other week to a coven of woman, you know, and I guess, you know, we probably all are. But tell us about your journey with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to start off with, I was absolutely convinced the positive mental attitude that I wasn't going to have menopause.
Mm-hmm.
I'd got this self-talk that because I'd chosen not to have children, that because I'd not awoken my lady bits,
that you were going to,
that they weren't ever going to close down and I'd never have menopause.
I love it.
I mean, I know it's absolute bunkum and it was never, you know, that was never going to happen.
I thought I was going to be late because I didn't get my period until I was 16, so I was going to be really late. Like,
so
yeah.
I convinced myself it wasn't going to happen. I used to say to my colleague, I'm not going to get menopause, as she was flashing herself because she was having a hot flush. Now, one of the two things that I've heard a lot of people talk about as symptoms, I've never had. So I've never had the hot flushes, or the night sweats. So, I mean, that's been phenomenal for me. I've never had those. But the biggest thing for me was the overwhelm.
Yeah.
So that was absolute horrendous. I was quite late to it because I'm 58 now. I'm thankfully through the other side. And to me, it's been a two and a half year journey, which is short in comparison to some. So I think I were about 55 when it started. Which was a year after we'd moved house. It's probably just because I moved house. We're in a new community. And I got this absolute overwhelm, feeling that I was totally incapable of doing my job anymore. I'd been doing that job for nearly 7 years and there was nothing. Nobody was telling me I wasn't any good, apart from my inner monologue.
Do you think that it was, you know, that and it's quite interesting because I've also researched about ADHD in women and how common it is for women to actually develop ADHD when they're going through perimenopause and menopause, and how the symptoms, I guess you could say, if there is a symptom of it, they're quite alike, and definitely that overwhelm. And I know, talking to other women about it too, it's like, for me, it's that stress level of going, I can't do this anymore. It's too much. This is all too much. I need it. I just want everybody just to go, stop. Time to just back the F off. Back the trailer up. Time to just, I don't want anybody to ask any more of me. Stop asking me to do shit, because I will say yes because that's who I am. But actually, I want you all just to
go away
and leave me alone, because my ideal weekend, as I've said to people, and it still is a bit that way, that my ideal weekend is actually I don't want anybody to phone me, I don't want to answer the phone, I don't want to have any but visitors, I want you all just to go away. I don't want my dear old mum, who I talk about a lot, to come and ask me if I can take her to the supermarket, because actually no, naff off, I don't want to take you to the supermarket. I don't want my kids to go, hey look, could you look after the grandbaby, which absolutely I will do any stage. Yeah. But there were times where I was like, I don't want anybody to ask me to do anything. I was on three or four committees, and I'd sit down, and obviously I'm heavily involved with operatic, as you know, and I can't go to another meeting because I've just come from one and I've got this on, and I'm a people pleaser, but at the same time I just want you to go away.
Yeah. I think one of the saving graces for me was my journey home.
Yeah.
Because working in New Plymouth and living where I do, it was taking me 45 minutes to get home.
Mm.
Often I'd be in the car crying.
Yeah.
On my way home.
Yeah, that's quite common, I
hear. Nobody knew.
Because
by the time I got home, I'd given myself a talking to and got myself all right and got in the house. And, hi, how's your day been? Oh, yeah, great. You know, put the mask back on.
Isn't it crazy how much we fake it, huh?
But I do remember there was one night with work. I was going with a really good colleague and friend, and we were co-facilitating a strategic planning event in Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing it together because we're very different personalities. So we were in a good mix doing this facilitation together. We both knew the group. We knew what we were doing. No reason I should feel unconfident. All the way there, I was feeling sick. I was churning up. I got to Countdown or Woolworths in Stratford, and I thought, I wonder if I might have got COVID. Maybe if I nip in and get a COVID test, I'll not have to go and do this session. And just this fear and anxiety about doing it.
Mm.
I'm choking up thinking about it. And then when I got there, luckily my good friend was there, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, he diverted me, always gave a good hug. So we went in, and it went really well. The session went well, but just that, and that was really, I got anxious and overwhelmed about it. But then I got anxious and overwhelmed about the overwhelm because it was new to me.
Vicious cycle, hey?
So I'm like, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this? So and then it kind of, I'm always a crier. I'm a crier, Tracy. You know, if I see something happy, I cry.
That's where we
something
get on.
Something sad, I cry. Yeah, you know, something.
I cried at Finding Nemo.
if I'm watching a cute cat meme, which I watch plenty, I cry. Back in the UK, I couldn't go and watch kids singing in school plays because I'd be at the back bawling my eyes out. You know,
it's
just embarrassment.
Mm.
But you know, my God, my tear ducts were so dry from crying all the time.
Mm.
Slightest little thing. And I was second-guessing things all the time.
Did you find that you would ever, like, you know, like the slightest thing would trip you off into a rage, though? Did you get that?
Not so much a rage. Oh, ask my husband.
You sound like you sang a Pam Mears poem. They should have asked my husband. For me, it was. I'd absolutely rage. Mm. Yeah, rage. And I would say things and then go, oh, shit, why did I? Like, my mouth, was, you know, I've said before, my mouth was moving and these words were coming out of my mouth and I'm thinking while I'm saying it, what the hell are you doing? Why, like, what the hell are you doing? Mm. I mean, I'm on my own, as you know, Marcy, and my mum copped it, or the dog would cop it, or my kids would cop it, and it'd be like, I couldn't stop. It would come out. And then somebody would phone and say, hey, look, do you want to, or you get a text or a message, a messenger, and they'd say, hey, look, do you want to meet up for a coffee? And I'll go, yeah, not a problem. And then, yeah, we'll catch up tomorrow at 2 o'clock or whatever. And then it would get to 1:30, and I'm like going, I don't want to go and see
that. Yeah.
I don't want to go and see that. And it wasn't anything that they've done or anything they did. Mm. And funnily enough now, I've got a friend of mine who's, I call her the infamous ghoster, and I know... Like, I can recognise now, I can see what's going on in her life, and absolutely, she's going through this, you know, moment of autumn, I guess you could say.
One of the things I embraced during this time, which kind of helped me, was I embraced my introverted side.
Okay.
So, again, living where we are, we're quite remote, and I've always enjoyed doing creative things. So I'd immerse myself in solo activities.
Right, okay.
You know, my crafting.
Yeah.
And one of the things I used to really enjoy doing, you know, I'd play like games on my iPad.
Yeah.
But that was, I'm like, oh, this is just a waste of time. So I picked up a crochet hook again, which I'd not done since I was a child.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on my something like 28th blanket by now. I don't do anything complicated. Yeah. But, you know, actually doing something that was mindless.
Knitting.
And that I could do without really thinking, but I got something at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then you get that adrenaline. Like, oh, actually, I've done something that's nice instead of just waste of time.
Mm.
So that really kind of pulled me through that.
How about brain fog? Did you get that?
Oh, yeah, holy. Mm. You should, going back to Shelley and I, when we were organising the Mad Hatters, you've got two perimenopausal women with brain fog trying to make a shopping list for the food. And I remember saying to Shelley, you know, we need to get some of them things, you know, them round pastry things with the holes in the top that you put stuff in. She's like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, what are the goals? She said, I've no idea. And then we'd laugh about it, and then we'd go on to the next thing. Do you think we should have some, you know, you get really good at explaining things because you can't remember the names
that's
of
funny,
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we were howling, we're laughing. Of course, what happens when you laugh?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You need to go wheeze.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then you do the shuffle to the toilet where you walk from your knees only. Yeah. It was hilarious.
I can remember even like 10 years ago thinking, you know, like I didn't have a problem like if the kids were doing, I mean, they were teenagers then, but if they were doing anything or even choreographing shows for school shows when I was teaching, you know, I'd jump around then. God help now, like not too bad now, but even a year ago, if I'd had to jump on a trampoline, I would have absolutely gone into that moment of sheer horror. And I can remember, like you'd see those ads for incontinence on TV and you hear that. But again, it's one of those things you don't actually talk about a lot. Like we don't actually, but thank God now people are starting to acknowledge it. I won't even get onto vaginal dryness because that'll make people really freak out. But, you know, they're all things that you go through and you don't even think about ever necessarily talking to your friends about. Bones, let's talk about bones that they can...
Oh, yeah, one of the symptoms that I had, or the symptoms that I had that I didn't realise were symptoms, these were all things that went away when I went on the magic patches, as I refer to them.
Mm.
I used to get really achy wrists.
Yep.
Really achy wrists and my hips. Now, not just my hip, but kind of like really inside my hips were really sore. People who know me know I'm a big girl. I've always have been. So, you know, you say to anybody, I've got achy knees, I've got achy hips. And the first thing is, I'll lose weight.
Of course it does, absolutely.
So, and I have to say, I've got a really good doctor.
That's good.
He's great. Mm. And within a week of having the patches, the aches had stopped.
Far out.
My knees are still sore because they're buggered. But my hips and my wrists, those aches stopped. And another symptom that I had was itchy palms and itchy feet. Really raw itchy that I just wanted to scratch.
Far out.
Scratch all the time. And whether it's coincidence or what, I don't know.
Mm.
I mean, my skin's improved since I've... I don't know whether it's due to the HIT or because I'm through the other side. I've gone through the light at the end of the tunnel. I really do feel that. My hair feels better. My skin feels not as dry, feels better, looks a bit saggier, but, you know, it feels good.
It's life, isn't it?
But this itchy palms, I used to sit and I used to scratch and scratch and scratch.
Okay,
but I don't know if that were maybe a link to the overwhelm and anxiety. I don't know. But all these things all of a sudden started stopping and I'm like, oh, maybe that's a symptom. Because I heard you guys talking about sleep and I'm kind of glad I weren't here that day because sleep's been fine for me.
Yeah, you're so lucky. It's not for me and obviously for Claire. Mm.
I think you would have thrown me out of the room if I'd have said I've never had a problem.
See, last night it must have been... It was about 10 o'clock last night. I put a casserole on, thinking I'll put a casserole in the crock pot to cook it overnight. Mm. So I bought for lunch today. And I thought, right, that means I've got something ready to go for dinner tonight. And so I did that. And the dogs were looking at me like thinking it was Christmas because I threw them a bit of chuck steak as I was chopping it up. So it was about 10 o'clock. I threw that in the crock pot. And then I went and had a hot shower, made myself a cup of tea, went to bed probably about 10:45, I suppose. Mm. And I've got into a really bad habit of watching TV to fall asleep. I have the TV, put it on time, I put it on 30 minutes, and I was watching a program on Neon, which happens to be about Henry VIII, and people will know, I can never remember the name, but the Wolf Manor, I think it's called, watching a new episode of that. So started watching that, fell asleep, and then at about 2:15, woke up. Dog actually woke me up. I was asleep because I'm on patches too. But dog woke me up, took one of the dogs out for a wee, and then came inside, and I was like, wide awake now. Wide awake. So I made another cup of tea and then drank my cup of tea in the lounge in the dark with just the hall light on. And I've got another dog that I crate trained, so he was in the crate and could see me. And of course, then he wanted to get out, and I thought, no, I'm not letting you out, mate. You can bloody stay there. And went back to bed probably about 3:30, I suppose. And it would have been at least 5:30 this morning that I was still lying in bed going, it's only another 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I'm up.
That's totally alien to me.
I might as well just get up. So I did force myself to stay in bed, and I think I must have drifted off because my alarm went a little bit later this morning. And, I think I've probably had maybe 4 hours sleep last night, maybe.
Tell you one of the things I did give myself permission to do, because with the overwhelm and everything else and the brain fog, you get tired. It's exhausting. And I gave myself permission to nap. So if I got home from work and I weren't feeling great, take 20 minutes and my cats were delighted.
Yeah, they could sit on
you. I'd just get on the bed, shut my eyes, and honestly I'd be in dead sleep within like 30 seconds. And I'd nap and I'd get up and I'd feel great.
I literally dream of that. Dream of that. I fall asleep if I put something on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and I happen to be, like if I put a TV program on and I'm on the couch, we'll fall asleep, and we'll fall asleep for a couple of hours, but then I can't sleep at night.
No, sleeping's never been a problem. Even Mum said I were a good baby, I used to sleep through, so I'm still a good baby, I still sleep through. But one of the things, Tracy, that I always thought I couldn't have hormone replacement.
Because
when I, in 1997, I remember it well, because it was just as Princess Diana had died, I had a blood clot in my leg. Went to the hospital. They didn't do ultrasounds then. You had to have an injection in your foot and an x-ray to find out I got a blood clot. And because I was 30, they thought, oh, we'll find out why, because it's unusual. I think they kind of knew because I was on the pill, so they said that was probably it. And then they told me I got this congenital blood clotting disorder called factor V Leiden, which... Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. And they said, well, I said, what, congenital? And said, oh, it passed down. It runs in the family. so basically the upshot was I couldn't have oestrogen. I couldn't have any other additional hormones. So I always remember the specialist saying to me, so it's tough luck for you. You'll never be able to have HRT. So you're going to suffer when it gets to menopause. I remember that as clear as day. I mean, the only implication for me now is when I do a long-haul flight, I have to take... It used to be an injection, now it's a tablet, just to ensure I don't get a blood clot. So for me, that's the only thing. And obviously, I couldn't take the pill. So I always thought I couldn't take it. And then my husband, we live Rory, he was going for his gun licence, and this lovely police officer came out to see us. So when you get your gun licence, they interview the person who's getting the licence, then they interview the person who lives with them. So he had to go off into his man cave, and she's talking to me, and she's saying, and how's your memory? I said, oh, apart from the brain fog, thanks to menopause. And she's like, oh, have you gone? You need to go on HRT. It's magic. It's amazing. And I'm like, oh, I can't have it. I've got a congenital blood disorder. And she says, oh, is it factor V Leiden? Now, you only know about that if you've got it. So I'm like, and you're on the patches? She's like, yeah, because it used to be, I don't try to understand these things, but it used to be the HRT used to be something.
Used to be an oral tablet used to take,
I remember my mum having a patch, it did last a month.
Yeah.
But it was synthetic.
Yeah.
Whereas now it kind of mimics what's in your body more. And she's like, there is an increased risk, but go and talk to your doctor. So I made an appointment, went to see my doctor, told him, he did some research, got back to me, and he says it's a 0.1 increase in the chance of you getting a blood clot. But these are all the potential benefits.
Yeah,
he says, it's up to, go away, think about it. You know, he didn't say take it, don't take it. He gave me all the information for me to make an informed choice. and spoke to Matthew, and I said, "No, I'll give it a try." And I did three different strengths of the patch until we got it right.
Yeah, so I'm on the 50. What are you?
Hundreds. You're on the 100. I'm on the big girl one.
Yeah, see, I'm tempted to talk because I reckon it stopped working for me a little bit.
And I was on the tablets as well, the progesterone tablets. Oh, yeah. But I've since had the Mirena fitted, which works far better for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great. And I really do feel I'm through the other side.
Mm.
But, you know, I cannot remember this woman's name because I feel she was sent to me by the menopause gods to tell me this thing, you know. We were one of the first places she'd come to assess on her own as well. She'd just finished her training.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if she's listening and she remembers me, please get in touch because, honestly, if I could hug you, I would.
Do you know the one thing about those patches I wish they would do? The one thing that pisses me off about them is that you can never find, like, I always find I've broken that many and I've snapped them in half and I've got two halves on at the moment because I don't want to waste one, right?
Yeah.
But it's those other little bits of the hard plastic. I find them everywhere.
Oh, yeah, all over the bathroom floor.
Yeah, I do. I find it everywhere. Yeah. All those little half bits of plastic. I'm like, holy, like, there's that many of them. I can see.
There's one on the back of my black cat one morning because you're obviously in the bathroom when I put it on.
Yeah.
And you've got the fluffy bits on your skin from where they've all been.
Yeah, I
know. They're almost like a badge of honour, though.
Yeah, they are. In fact, I was at, when I had my hernia fixed, the surgeon said to me, oh, what happened here? And I said, oh, it's just the sticky residue from my hormone patch. And then I can remember seeing, before I had the surgery, saw somebody up at the base and they said to me, it was a female doctor, and she just laughed. She went, oh, you're on them too.
You know, and I've got a good friend who were on patches for a while and she's come off them now.
Okay.
So she's kind of gone through.
And it was enough to get her through.
And it was enough to get her through, and she's come off, because I thought, oh yeah, never thought of that.
That is cool. Hey Marcy, we're going to wrap this up right now, but thank you for coming along. We're going to have
it's been
back.
Good.
We need you back each week, I think. Claire and Beth will be back to join us too because unfortunately they've got sickness and kids sick and kids going away. Beth's got her daughters back down here at the moment and is about to leave, and then Claire's on the shop floor because she's got staff away sick, as we all know, winter. It is not easy. Thank you for joining us and do stick around because we've got loads of things happening, including Chris is up next here at Access Radio. Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.